This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. It's the 7th of October, 2024. Good morning. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news, and Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. The Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Learn more by visiting ffbt.com. On the 7th of October, coming up in the news, an update on the port strike, which is over for now. And it is National 4-H Week. Eric and CJ with those stories. Ryan's forecast, another long dry period for a full steam ahead harvest, and a sell-off again Friday in the markets. We'll have analysis with Brian Basting here on the Hat Monday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
The port strike is over for now, and happy National 4-H Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. The strike impacting ports from Texas to Maine is over, at least temporarily. The International Longshoremen's Association and the U.S. Maritime Alliance Thursday evening announced a temporary end of the work stoppage that shut down East and Gulf Coast ports.
We see this as very good news, getting people back to work, starting cargo moving again out of the Gulf and East Coast is essential to our business. So from that standpoint, you know, we're very excited about these developments.
That's U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom. He's happy because livestock producers and exporters ship more than $100 million worth of product through those ports each week.
You know, we have a reputation globally as being a very reliable supplier to our customers all over the world. So in that regard, getting people back to work at these ports and getting cargo moving again is essential. So I think in this regard, getting business back on track, this is really good news as we go forward.
The union and the Maritime Alliance have reportedly reached an agreement on wages and have agreed to extend the current contract until January 15th of 2025. Which will allow additional time to negotiate remaining issues.
I'd like to thank the International Longshoremen Association and the United States Maritime Alliance. Our goal all along was to getting people back to work, and the fact that they have agreed to go back to the bargaining table and continue work in the meantime, we see that as a real positive.
The strike was estimated to cost as much as $5 billion per day.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
This National 4-H Week, McDonald's of Greater Indiana is saluting all past, future, and present farmers here in the Hoosier State. CJ Miller has more.
The reason why we sponsored 4-H is because, yes, we do know that they're the future, but we want to make sure that we're also helping to guide them.
And that's Allison Kasanovich, a McDonald's owner-operator based in North Central Indiana. This past summer, she and her team members traveled to Beard Dairy Farm in Kosciuszko County to learn more about the importance of Indiana's farmers and the value that their local dairy suppliers bring.
It is an extremely backbreaking job, but it was just such a great experience. And it was just like, I was in awe of like how it was so well oiled.
In addition to buying more than 8 million gallons of milk from Indiana's dairy farmers, the McDonald's system also purchases nearly 13 million pounds of pork, 12.4 million pounds of sugar, and nearly 2 million pounds of soybean oil each year from Indiana's farmers and suppliers.
The farmers and your local McDonald's, as well as the McDonald's Corporation, we're working together to provide them with the best quality and best experience as much as possible. Because at the end of the day, if we don't succeed, they don't succeed. And so we really just want to make sure that we're providing and feeding our communities to the best of our abilities.
So the next time you take a bite into a McRib or a sausage egg McMuffin, remember those Indiana farmers who work hard every day to supply their products to McDonald's. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you. But when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. And I've got to tell you, it's another wide open dry harvest forecast as we get started on a Monday. New look at the weather setup tells me that we don't see any precipitation in the Indiana area for the next 10 days. I don't think we see anything until probably late next week or even after that. There's nothing bubbling up to our west. The only area that we're going to need to watch is this weekend into early next week over the Great Lakes. Canadian air still wants to break free late this week into the weekend, and cooler air wants to come down into Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan. With that, I think we have to watch for a little bit of moisture to try and come through Michigan, probably Sunday into Monday of next week. Cloud cover associated with that cool air will have to watch closely in northern Indiana. But at this point, I'm leaving the forecast completely dry. What's really interesting is I think we see some lake effect precipitation trying to creep up early next week, coming down the fetch of Lake Michigan, maybe throw some clouds into northwest Indiana early next week, but it's not going to be anything that hits a large area of the region, and I don't think it delays harvest at all at this point. So definitely cooler as we finish out the weekend and go into early next week. Then we bounce right back with southwest flow. A large upper level ridge is in control of the region here, not just through the weekend, but into early next week. Behind that system that comes through the Great Lakes, we're looking at sunshine, blue sky, and above normal temperatures. I don't see temperatures falling off here dramatically until later in the month. Now remember, our normals are dropping almost a degree per day, so we're way above normal here, but our normals are falling, so we are seeing some cooler air come in. I don't see any frost or freeze or killing frost or anything like that in the short haul. I'm going to watch this Michigan weather closely over the weekend. We might get close to some frosty conditions early next week, but I still think most of the state does not have any concerns. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
A dip in corn, beans, and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. I'll have the final numbers coming up momentarily. First, some thoughts on what transpired during the session, and I secured those in the middle of the trading day from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Brian, the market's selling off just a little, a few cents down in corn and beans going into the weekend, double-digit losses in wheat. We saw some profit-taking in wheat earlier in the week after recent gains, but at the moment anyway, going into the weekend, no news to really prop up the market.
Not really, Andy. For the most part, across the entire Corn Belt, Northern Plains, Southern Plains, clear weather for harvest. I think we're going to see a real active harvest pace revealed by the USDA on Monday when they come out with their crop progress report. Perhaps near record pace for beans in a lot of areas. Beans have been really, really active harvest there, but probably some hedge pressure here to wrap up the week. We've seen a really good rally in beans up until this week of over a little over a dollar. And we saw a good rally in corn of about 45 cents. And now we're getting into harvest full speed here and maybe just some hedge pressure and some profit taking ahead of the weekend. And wheat had a multi-month high there and a lot of concern worldwide about some crop issues in Australia and Argentina are dry. And then and actually planting the crops in Ukraine and Russia are dry. But they're hard, getting the crops in a critical stage, for example, in Argentina, and it's dry. And Australia's crop is shrinking there, too, gave wheat a bump. But I think a lot of that, Andy, is tied to the fund, trading funds had a real heavy short position this summer for all three crops. And we've seen some short covering, and that position has been whittled down quite a bit lately.
Talk about some elements that may impact the markets in coming sessions. We'll talk about weather, I'm sure, as a part of that. Also, in a week, a USDA update.
That's right. I think any time you get into a big USDA report, and I was doing a little study this morning looking at the change in price for December corn and November soybean futures on the day that that report is released, and that will be next Friday, October 11th, at noon Eastern time, to remind your listeners. And every year is different, but boy, there's been some major moves, both to the upside and to the downside, associated with the results of that report. Now, it's not just production. We have world supply and demand, and U.S. demand also, any changes in usage there. But primarily the driver is changes in yields, of course. And just encourage your listeners from a risk management standpoint, Andy, to have your positions in place prior to that report, because as I glance at my numbers here, there have been years where we've lost 30 cents in beans and 10, 15 cents in corn. And there's been years or vice versa. We've seen rallies of that magnitude. But it's unpredictable. We don't know what Friday's going to tell us, but we do know that there's that potential. It's not a guarantee of volatility. But so Friday the 11th at noon Eastern time, I think we're also watching export business, Andy. We're seeing some more flash sales lately, both corn and beans. We've seen a nice recovery in soybean demand here, actually above the level of sales we had on the books last year at this time, now for the 24 crop. And corn has been strong all along. Mexico has been buying a lot of corn. We've seen some sales unknown destinations. So short term, I think we're going to be watching, of course, actual yield results as your listeners here get busy in the fields. We're going to be looking at the export demand. Will these higher prices discourage export sales, or will the buyers just continue to buy? And then we're going to be looking at that report, of course, on Friday the 11th. For some guidance there longer term.
In general, those yield results that you alluded to, not to specify what they are, but just the way they generally look at this point in time and that wide open harvest window across the Midwest, might there be a combination of those two factors leading to some significant pressure?
I think you summarized that well, and I would maybe segregate out the crops. And for this, I mean, Andy, that the bean price across the Midwest here and nearly universally is above $10 cash across the scale. Now, it's backed off a bit from where it was a week or so ago, but regardless, $10 cash beans across the scale associated with some really strong yields. So when a producer puts the pencil to paper and looks at gross revenue, multiplying the bushels times the price, we are seeing a lot of beans being sold across the scales. And, of course, beans are being harvested first. Producers want to get those out of the field here before any weather changes occur down the road, and they're, in general, as you said, very happy with the yields and the price rebound we've seen. As I mentioned a moment ago, that we've seen over a dollar rebound in the futures market, not taking into account local basis, of course, but regardless, a lot of folks, they're doing the gross revenue calculation and saying, I'm going to go ahead and sell the beans. Not quite a stronger trend, perhaps, there in corn that we've seen in beans, but strong corn yields, I confirm. But not necessarily the aggressive scale sales trends that we're seeing on beans. But the short answer to your question is maybe that could fuel some hedge pressure here, particularly in beans as moving forward. The other thing we're watching in beans, Andy, is they're just starting to plant. As your listeners get those combines rolling, they're just starting to plant the beans in Brazil. It had been very dry. A lot of forecasters are saying now that the wet season, it looks like it's going to kick in next week and into that middle part of October. So there'll be something we're watching down the road, but for the time being, maybe some of that weather premium that was built in there, because they did have a long period of dryness here, is being taken out of the market with some wetter forecasts there. So just to remind everybody that the markets are unpredictable, and you really want to be in a position where you get a floor underneath these bushels that you're harvesting and leave the upside open, in my opinion, is a good strategy to consider.
Thoughts on the markets from Brian Basting with Advanced Trading. Brian's number 309-664-2314. Now the Friday settlements, December corn 3.5 cents lower, ending the session at 424.75. March goes to 441.75, down 4.25. Just over 450 on the May, down 4.5 on the day. 8.25 lower November beans, 1037.75. January and March down 8.5 cents. Jan 1056. March 1071.25. And Dease wheat 13.75 lower, settling at 589.75. Meats split the day. December live cattle 187 even, a 60 cent gain, and 25 cents down on December lean hogs 76.15. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.